Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Nice job, Eddie Scazzeri. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton, on in the fan, and of course, worldwide on CBS Sports Network. Got a great show for you today. Unless, of course, you're a New York Met fan as they get swept by the Milwaukee Brewers, starting with a garbage performance from our main man, Matt Harvey. Gazelman stings too. And I know they'll talk about how DeGrom did better, but he wasn't all that great either. So they get swept. The New York Yankees split the doubleheader yesterday, and Tanaka, of all people, don't give him a chance to win after a lengthy, lengthy ceremony honoring the great Derek Jeter. 45,000 people there. Another several million watching at home. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
Hey, Craig. You doing well? And you say lengthy, lengthy, lengthy. I thought it was absolutely 100% appropriate, absolutely perfect. Having all those guys come out in their new blue blazers and their gray slacks, they look great. I mean, they look absolutely awesome. And I would just say this as an NFL player who played for 14 years, and I played for three teams. You know, there's an envious part of me that sits there and watched that thing last night and go, man, 20 years with one organization, sure. And I'm sure there were bumps along the way. I'm sure they were fighting along the way about certain things.
These moments with George Steinbrenner, well documented.
But they all have them, right? But the longevity of 20 years, the amount of hits, you know, obviously the plays that they showed in the replay and all that other stuff. But it's I can't even explain it other than Derek Jeter is such a minimalist.
Right.
Right? He dresses beautifully. His wife looked awesome.
Fantastic.
Mom and dad looked great. Grandma looked great.
His nephew sister, and
yes, it was just awesome. But he's a minimalist. I don't know how else to say it. He dresses that way. He speaks that way. He talks in measured tones, but a very poised delivery in his speech. It didn't go on and on and on and on and on. He mentioned his coaches, his teammates. I talked about mom and dad and family. There's just something that was so right about it.
Yep.
And the way that the Yankees did it, and you know, only the Yankees do it that way because they're the ones that have the history. And when you think about the history of the team, and then you think about what Derek accomplished as a Yankee player, and then the way he went out there and carried himself as both on the field and off the field. And I'm sure there were some things that are off the field that people don't realize and nobody knows, but who cares, right? At the end of the day, for 20 years, he was exemplary and he was the leader. He was the captain and he was perfect. And I just thought that the whole thing was perfect. It was well done. It was the right amount of time. He didn't speak very long.
You knew that was going to happen, right?
Because he's a minimalist.
Right.
He's just the way he is, and it's what made the ceremony all that much better.
It was a great day in Yankee Stadium. I mean, forget about the game. The game almost became immaterial to it because it was a celebration of Derek Jeter. Now, worst thing happens that you're getting blown out in the first. Like, it wasn't even a game until much later on. But it was. You're right. Listen, the Yankees and every team would get that right. They did a great job. I will say this. You know, when you see the 40 empty folding chairs, you're like, how many people could possibly come out?
But it's amazing how many people that were a part of his life.
I thought Beltran coming out doing the one presentation was pretty cool. You know, his wife obviously is out there looking great. His mom and dad are healthy enough to be there and be a part of it, especially on Mother's Day. And listen, it's the official, I don't want to say goodbye because I'm sure he'll be here every now and then. But Al and I were talking about this before the show. The one thing about Derek Jeter that's different than a lot of guys in New York, and that is he kind of disappears for a while. He's not a guy that's omnipresent, you know what I mean? He's not doing 500 appearances. He's not hosting a TV or radio show. He's going about his life. And I'm sure a couple times a year, there'll be a Derek Jeter event or something here in New York. But unlike, you know, the last guy in the video tribute to him before Mattingly in the recorded stuff was Mark Messier. And Mark Messier, who, you know, we've had on the show 500 times, right? Like, he's around all the time. So it's weird. Like, Bernie Williams gets introduced, and, well, you see him all the time playing guitar.
Yeah, but, you know,
Jeter's separate in that he's kind of extricated himself from the New York scene for a bit.
Yes, and doesn't do a lot of commercials, if any, for that matter. I have no idea what he did as commercials, but, you know, in regards to Messier, you know, Messier plays a different sport, so he tends to have to be out there to promote the sport and everything else. I just, you know, the whole thing, like, there wasn't one aspect of it that I said, well, maybe there was one aspect, and it is a glaring aspect. And you could say whatever you want, and you could say wherever he was.
That the weather held?
No, well, that A-Rod was not there.
Yeah, well, by now, design.
Which is really telling.
He wasn't invited.
It's very telling.
Sure.
I don't know what else to tell you that, you know, it's kind of amazing because when A-Rod was traded to the Yankees, he had to switch positions.
Right.
Now, they were not switching Derek Jeter.
Right.
Regardless of who was considered better, who was the better athlete, it didn't matter. They were not moving Derek Jeter, and A-Rod had to accept playing third base.
And at the time, remember, did so with great class.
Yeah,
at the time.
But whatever happened, I mean, like, somehow, some way, Derek Jeter stayed above the fray. He stayed above all of it.
That's Derek Jeter.
And then, of course, in the crowning moment of his career and the finality of his career, A-Rod was not there. I mean, that was it was obvious. It was like the 800-pound gorilla in the room,
right?
As they say it. And
now, we knew going in he wasn't going to be there because they announced it.
But it was just kind of strange. Like,
they played next to each other for a decade, right?
They were next to each other for 10 years.
Right, and were good friends at one point.
Right.
They just did that charity thing together. But, you know, Derek Jeter apparently didn't want the stain of A-Rod on his event.
But do you
and
think is
that's
that,
what it is?
Well, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to belabor this because it's a negative, and it's one negative in a thousand positives.
Sure.
Yes, it is.
Pink elephant.
So I don't want to belabor this whole thing, but who decides that?
Derek Jeter does. I'm sure the Yankees come to him and say, here's who we'd like to be a part of it.
I don't even think it's asked. I don't think it's asked,
but I think Derek Jeter says to them, here's the list of guys I'd like to have there.
No way.
No, he didn't say who I don't want. I think he said, here's who I'd like to have there.
So you don't even think the name?
No.
I
think the Yankees
mentioned.
Say we'd like, you know, this Steinbrenner, that Steinbrenner, this Swindle, you know, I want them to be part of it.
Sure.
Like, you know, so Randy Levine wanted a part of it, right?
Yeah, but he's the president of the team.
Right.
Why would he be the part
I'm
of
saying,
it?
I'm saying he's an executive in theory that may want to and put himself in.
Why?
So I think it's a combination of Derek going, here's the guys I want, and the Yankees going, here's who we'd like, we're good, let's go. But you're right, it was great. If you were at the game last night, I know the game itself stunk. Now, if you went to the first game, then left, had a drink or two, and came back for last night, you had a great day. You had the great comeback in game one. You had, of course,
had
a ceremony.
Comeback.
And you damn near came all the way back in game two. You know, you got, you know, tying run at the plate, and Hicks just couldn't get it done. But they split it. They're in first place by a half a game right now over Baltimore. And having played 35 games of this baseball season, it has been a great season already.
Well, and here we go. Now we have Jerry's Familia out for the year. And now Chapman's on the shelf for
yes.
at least a month.
Rotator cuff.
Dude, I'm telling you. Something's going on with pitching in baseball, and I know it's been going on for a while now. Maybe the last 5 or 6 years, it seems to be a little bit more evident in terms of guys getting injured and guys getting hurt and guys hurting elbows and shoulders and everything. I have never seen anything like it.
No, and from we should get into this though for a minute, Boom. From the New York Yankees and the Jeter celebration and the great comeback in the first game, you know, and then of course all the stuff that happened last night. I hate to tell you this, and you know it, I know it, everyone knows it. There's a boatload of blood in the water at Citi Field. And it ain't going to go on much longer before something major happens. And I'm afraid it's going to be Terry Collins.
Well, why would it be Terry Collins?
Because that's how it goes in baseball.
I don't know what difference
you cannot get swept by the Brewers.
You can't be throwing out guys. Like, he's making changes. He's trying to do everything he possibly can. He's trying to save guys and protect guys and bring guys in the right. He brings in Edgen. Edgen hits a guy.
Right.
I mean, you know, and by the way, I don't know if it, that Milwaukee team.
Yeah.
They're like a weightlifting team, man.
Right?
I don't know where they came from, but
it's like watching a softball game.
That was a weekend that you want to forget if you are the Mets pitching staff.
I mean, you have a 7-1 lead in the sixth. You can't possibly lose that game.
Let me explain something to you. Did you see what those baseball players look like
in
Milwaukee?
It looked like when we played against Rob Manfred's team in softball,
it's
right?
It's ridiculous.
I mean, even 8-3 in the seventh, you can't lose that game. The New York Mets, that might be, with a lot of bad stuff ready this year, the worst weekend of the year.
29 runs given up, 41 hits, 8 home runs, and runners in scoring position 12 of 40.
For the weekend, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so they lose 11-9. The Mets are now.
That is ridiculous.
4 games under 500. They're 7 games out of first place.
And statistically, the Mets now have the worst pitching staff in the National League. The worst pitching staff.
Yeah.
They have an ERA over 5.
It's brutal. Brutal.
When was the last time a starting pitcher went 6 innings? Like solid, well, I guess DeGrom yesterday, but went 7 innings.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you. And with Syndergaard out, now Familia out.
It's unbelievable.
Reed couldn't get the job done. Gzelman sucks.
And they're finally hitting the ball.
Yep, right. Offense ain't the problem. You know, sometimes it goes the other way where when you need pitching, you get it. When you need hitting, you get it. They're going the exact opposite way. And speaking of Matt Harvey.
In the bottom of the eighth yesterday,
yep.
When all of a sudden Milwaukee's coming back and they finally eclipse the New York Mets and everything, I'm saying, well, you know what? Milwaukee's pitching hasn't been much better. Just a little bit better. And we haven't seen their closer, so their closer's coming up. So there was no way that anybody was getting on base, that anybody was going to get hit.
Right. You felt that going into it, too, right?
Because it felt like the proverbial winds were taken out of their sails.
Yep.
And it was just like going through the motions. It was brutal, man. It was about as ugly as it can get.
It was like we're watching a slow motion car wreck that you know is going to happen, and you can't, like, it's right there. You want to touch it and stop it, and you know it's going to, like, you saw it, and you couldn't reach out.
I swear to God, I felt like I was reliving the Rangers Senators again, where it was at the end of the game, and you know damn well that the team the Rangers are playing against are giving up the tying goal. You just know
it. You feel it. It's tangible, right? Well, so the Mets get swept. We do have to do a quick second on Matt Harvey. You know, I would say this. I watched it. You watched it. Obviously, you had to see what Matt Harvey was going to do. Got nothing to do with Adrianna Lima. It's got nothing to do with that other gal that I guess came out and talking smack, whatever it is. Doesn't matter. None of it means nothing. Friday night, that's Matt Harvey.
Nothing means nothing.
Matt Harvey went out there healthy, arms in good shape. Matt Harvey gave you 5 innings, 7 hits, 5 runs. And what, 3 home runs, 4 home runs, whatever it was? That's pathetic.
5 walks, too.
I don't hear another word about Matt Harvey, about being an ace of a staff, about needing to pitch on the road versus home, about women troubles, about anything else. Here's the bottom line. Matt Harvey did not give his team a chance to win the game, in my opinion. And he hadn't pitched in over a week, so he's well-rested, right? And either Matt Harvey is going to go out there like a professional and pitch, or go get him help that he needs physically and mentally or emotionally. I don't care.
Let me just tell you something.
That was a joke Friday night.
The knives are out. The knives are out now, and it's not just for him. I mean, it's pretty much for the entire pitching staff. I feel bad for Dan Worthen, too. I mean, because, you know, he is a really good pitching coach.
Yeah.
And he has, right now, he has no answer for what the hell is going on with these guys.
And Sandy Alderson's got to do something. And I don't know if there's something you can do.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. But you got a general manager. Do something.
You're going to bring more guys up from Las Vegas?
Shake it up. Do something. You got to inject some life.
I'll tell you what they got to do.
This team is dead.
Just keep Conforto in the lineup. Keep TJ Rivera in the lineup. Somehow those guys have got to be in the lineup every single day.
Later this morning, we'll get to a little NBA. You had a game yesterday. I know it was a weird day weather-wise. It was beautiful. It rained. So at some point, if you found yourself inside and saw a 20-point deficit become a win for Golden State over San Antonio. The last 5 minutes of that game were as good as playoff basketball gets.
Well, let's face it. You have a game seven tonight between Washington and Boston and Boston. All right, at least there's some juice in that series. There's some excitement in that series. And I think everybody's been waiting for San Antonio and Golden State. And basically what happens, Kawhi Leonard re-injures his ankle in the third quarter again. He goes down, and then all of a sudden Golden State goes on this 18-0 run. I think it was an 18, might have been a 19-0 run. And they win a game that the Spurs had, I really believe, had to win this game.
Sure, a 20-point lead, no doubt. And by the way, they took a 3-point lead with about a minute to go.
And because you have a game seven in the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference, the way this whole thing is playing out there, is I think they have one more game this week.
Schedule-wise.
And then they don't play their third game until, I think, Saturday.
Which is a joke.
But it also maybe gives Kawhi Leonard a chance maybe to come back in game three. I doubt he'll play in game two, but it's the NBA playoffs have not been good. You have to admit.
No, I agree. There have been a couple moments here and there, but overall, it has not been good. I would say this. John Wall hitting that big three Friday night
was
huge.
That was big.
That was great to go to a game seven. But you're right. Overall, it has not been good, not even a little bit. But yeah, we've been waiting for four teams. Really, two, right? Everyone's waiting for Cleveland, Golden State.
I was waiting for the Spurs and Golden State.
We'll see how it goes.
Too bad. Too bad.
I guess we also have a big announcement later on this morning at about 7:45 that I got a note on this morning that said, shh, don't say anything till 7:45.
Okay.
So I'm not going to say nothing till 7:45. Now, if you were at Yankee Stadium yesterday, I got to hear from you. 877-337-6666. And congratulations to Derek Jeter and his family for what was another great Yankee moment, Yankee ceremony. Mm-hmm. They're all gone now. All the single digits are out of commission. Officially out of commission.
You know, the Yanks did lose 3 out of 4 to the Astros.
Yes.
All right.
They're in first place.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.